Adam, another evening, Wednesday evening in Cleveland, Ohio. Beautiful night, a little warm, but not too bad.
It's all right.
So how are you doing tonight?
I am fantastic, Jack. I'm super excited. I'm excited for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons I'm excited is because we're doing the third part of our three-part show here tonight, Jack, which is on our marketing channels.
Marketing channels. That is correct, though.
So the last two shows we've been going through the short-term and the long-term channels. Now we have the I don't know, is it the boring one or the snoozing one? It's called passive, Jack. Passive marketing channels. Doesn't sound very exciting, does it?
Well, if you call it something else, it could be. Call it passive income, even though it isn't passive income directly. We'll just confuse the whole lot here.
Passive. So
is this marketing supposed to make you money?
It is.
Supposed to help you get sales?
It is.
And if you can do it without doing anything, that's a pretty good deal.
That almost sounds too good to be true, right?
I think we've been bumping into people for our 18 years that always sell marketing like that. It turns out to be passive, even though that's not the intention.
Let's do a little reset here. First of all, let's welcome our audience here, Jack. First of all, welcome to this week's edition of Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sonhalter. That's Jack Mancini over there, the guy you're here talking. And we're glad to have you here. And we're happy to talk about our marketing stuff. You know, as I was thinking about this, Jack, as we look at this, and we often will talk, when we talk about marketing, we'll talk about, especially with a small business, but I think it's true overall, is we're trying to balance the two scales. The two scales being time and money. Time and money. And as we were going through and talking about our short term, which is where I think most people like to start. It's those quick hits where things are going to happen quickly. To your point, Jack, it's, you know, the whole point of the marketing is to have leads come into your business, right? In terms of, you know, new potential customers coming in. And those short term hits are those things that people usually start with first. Hey, it's that, you know, do a bunch of stuff and things will start to happen, right? And then we talked about long-term stuff last time. But if you look at those, like just some very simple examples of some of the short-term stuff we talked about, the things like know, like, and trust, right, with referrals and word-of-mouth marketing or doing things like workshops or even some of the longer-term stuff we talked about, Jack, things like networking or creating all the different content that we were talking about last week, right, in terms of writing and doing videos, you know, those kind of things. Those things are more heavily weighted towards the time piece of it, Jack, right? In terms of, you know, you're putting a lot of time into those things. You know, again, it's building, you know, if you're doing the networking, going to different groups, or you're creating that content, you're putting together and actually, you know, delivering the workshops, or whatever it might be. There's a lot of time and not as much in terms of dollars. And so as we shift now more to the passive stuff, as you might imagine, the passive stuff becomes, like we were saying, passive because it's not as active from a time standpoint. And it's more heavily weighted towards a dollars standpoint, right? And it's one of those things, much like we talked about last week, Jack, with those long-term strategies, that it's those things that you want to start today because you know 6 months, a year, 2 years from now, you're going to wish that you had started them today, but you know, you're always going to wait for the right time. I think the passive ones are very similar to that because it's, again, most of those things are going to lead to business at some point, but it's not going to be as immediate as those short-term things. And so, if all of a sudden we got to write some checks and to spend some money, we know how the small business folks think, Jack. You know, they're often, you know, crying poor pockets. It's a question of which one of these passive strategies do you want to be kind of looking at? Because again, as we talk about, I think with session one, and we'll, you know, repeat it again today, Jack, we try to encourage all of our clients who are coaching here to make sure that they have at least one short-term, long-term, and passive strategy, right? Have a mixture of these things because they all work together and they all can lead to some good stuff.
So what's an example of a passive?
Great example. All right, great question, Jack. So let me bring up one I think everybody's very familiar with. And it's probably one of the things that people will think of almost first when we talk about channels. And that's a big, broad category of advertising, okay? Advertising. Mm-hmm. So it could be in print. It could be digital. It could be online. So, you know, one of your favorites, I think you may have mentioned this last time, Jack, the idea of the yellow pages and white pages, right? That's a form of advertisement.
It's amazing that they're still around, isn't it?
But you got, you know, you have billboards, right? Those are still around. You've got the old school print billboards, right, where they put the big things up there. But there's also those digital digital billboards are out there, right? So it's all kinds of advertising. So we got, and again, this is for folks, this is the first show you're hearing. We have a one pager on marketing channels that we will include as part of the notes. And we include
that page. That page has everything on it that you could conceivably think of for advertising, marketing. It's really a marketing page that really summarizes the whole industry very well. Marketing is a very confusing, even with the practitioners, very, very confusing term, very confusing industry. So much overlaps with PR and advertising, and it gets involved with different physical components of channels, and it just hops on to philosophy again, and, you know, concepts, and it's very difficult to seriously talk about it. That's why there's such great frustration, especially at the small level, small company level. They just don't have the resources to bomb it out and appear everywhere so everyone can become educated. It's very expensive and difficult to educate the public to your market, to your product. Very difficult.
Well, hold on a second. So you're talking about some of the marketing folks out there, Jack, and as you're talking, one of the words that's kind of coming to mind, which I know just is just like nails on a chalkboard for most small business owners, Jack. And there's that phrase that you hear from marketers. They say, well, hey, you know what? Half your marketing is going to work and half your marketing is not going to work. We just aren't sure which half, right? Yeah, and so you think about that as an owner and say, wait a minute. You want me to spend $10,000 or $20,000 or $100,000 and you're telling me that half that's going to be just pissing it away? We're not sure it's going to work. Well, most owners are thinking, hey, that's not, you know, all of a sudden their brains just kind of click right off, right? And say, wait, that seems really silly. And I think that mentality or those phrases are, again, as we often know, Jack, people, especially the owners, are often looking for reasons not to do stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you give them a reason not to do it, if you tell them, hey, well, half the stuff isn't going to work, well, you've lost them, right? But if you take a look at this, just the advertising, Jack, I think we have listed here about 15 or 16 different items. Let me just kind of run through for a few minutes. Let me see what jumps out at you, right? So I mean, we talk about the whole yellow, white pages or billboards, things like newspapers, right? So you have some local newspapers, well, some, you know, just, you know, daily newspapers are getting harder to find, but, and there's the print version, but there's also those digital versions of it. There's different.
Well, coming back to yellow pages, most people feel that yellow pages are shot dead. And we had a client who, that's what I thought too. We had a client, we were going through their financial statements with them, and here they have $40,000, some pretty big number, spent on yellow pages. It's a company who prospered, it's probably a 30-year-old company, maybe more. And it prospered during those times of heavy newspaper and heavy yellow pages. In fact, if you want to look up something years ago, decades ago, that was the primary source. Look up the yellow pages. So today, I didn't even realize yellow pages was still in business. But yet here they are, spending big money and getting big returns on it. That's kind of interesting.
Well, yeah, there's still a market for it. Yeah, the yellow and white pages are still there, and there are still folks, even given our digital age, Jack, that are using those to find information. So for a certain segment of the market, so if your business is geared towards, let's say, 60-plus in terms of age, well, the yellow and white pages might not be a bad idea for you. Now, if you're trying to target a bunch of 17-year-olds, Jack, I'm not
even
sure.
Know what you're talking about.
Yeah, right? They don't know what those things are, right? So that's probably not a good spot for them, right?
Yellow pages really got decaying sunlight on them, didn't they? They used to be white, so that's how it worked.
That's what it was. Okay, that makes sense now. I understand that. It's like all the old documents that got down in Washington D.C., right? Like the Constitution. That's right. They turned yellow and brown.
The yellow pages. That's right.
Well, one of the areas that I know you were surprised by too, Jack, to see that it was growing was magazines. And the magazine area, right, in terms of just the different, I think you said that all the different segments you saw the one time, you were amazed by, you know, the number of publications that are out there now has grown tremendously, which I think most people don't think is happening.
I agree. I don't think most people really think of it like that. But when you're breaking up a market into segments, you can get very small in those segments. It doesn't mean, you know, tiny, like 10 digits, or not 10 digits, but
like Tiny Tim.
Yeah, kind of like Tiny.
That kind of tiny.
Same thing. But they have segments that specialize in just about anything, you know, sailing yachts, you know, whatever the material is for sails. There's probably a magazine on that. For a multitude of shoes, probably thousands of different types of shoes.
That's one of your favorites, I know.
It is, yeah.
I don't think our audience knows about your shoe and foot fetish, Jack, but that's okay. They'll have to call us to find out more about that. That's right.
That's right. I only whisper that to different people.
Okay.
But, yeah, there's so many. You look around you. I'm looking at my desk now with clocks and permanent markers and thumb drives and deposit slips and just a bunch of stuff, little clips, little paper clips, little screen cleaners.
Oh, wait, you're jumping to something else now. So now you just jumped down to promotional items. I see.
No. There's promotional items. All have trade magazines, and everyone has trade magazines.
That's a different strategy.
You name the product, and there's a magazine. I'm pretty sure if it has any 10,000 people or more, it has a breathing quality to it that lets people pick it up and basically sell in there, just like the old days.
Well, so hold on. This is probably a good chance then. Again, you're talking about the targets, Jack. And so I think as we talked about, at least in our first show, maybe we didn't talk about last time, but we should just again touch on it this time. When we talk about marketing, there's three components to marketing. And the piece we've been talking about these last three shows have been the channel piece of that, the channels.
Correcto,
which is what most people think about when they think about marketing. But there's the two other components, which is the targets, which is, again, defining who good customers are for you, and then also the message. And so the target piece you're talking about, Jack, in terms of segmentation, that's looking at what's kind of going on. And so as we talk to our clients about it, we spend a lot of time usually early on helping them figure out who a good customer for them is. And, you know, to your point, you know, if you're going to look and see magazines, well, if you don't know anything about your customers, Jack, you can look at the list of magazines all you want, and nothing's going to pop out at you because you aren't looking.
Yeah, you'll just throw money at something to do something. Right. it won't be hitting the target.
We're throwing money at something to do something. Okay. That's good. That's like stuff. Well, that something's on, it's like stuff.
You don't know who your customer is, so you throw money.
Yeah. Right. Well, you're right. It's that shotgun approach, and that's you know where it used to be. You had to spend the money. You had to hope, right? You're putting it there, and you couldn't tell how many eyeballs you were getting on it or whatever else. That was the old way, the CPM, right? The cost per thousand. That was how it was done. I think it's done for a number of these things. The difference now, though, is with the online and different data that's out there, you can actually see who's seeing your stuff, who's engaging with your stuff. But again, let me circle back to the print. We're talking about print magazines is one of those areas, and you've got trade journals, you've got industry industry newsletters, and one of the overlooked ones that we know has been very very good, especially with a lot of folks who are in more of the home and trade type stuff, are things, very simple things like yard signs, Jack, yard signs, right? And you'd be amazed, that's probably one of the highest ROIs, you know, return on investments for people. You know, a yard sign costs you what? $5 probably, maybe. If you get a bunch.
Wait a minute. What kind of yard signs? Yard signs?
Well, you can do those too. But I'm saying for your business, right? So here you've gone in. You know, if your business is painting houses, you know, doing landscaping, power washing, you know, or sealing driveways, right? You know, so a lot of things that are geared towards towards home stuff. Yard signs are fantastic ways to get the word. Hey, by the way, people will start to notice, hey, your house is looking nice, Jack. Who did the work? Oh, wait a minute. I can see right there in the yard. It tells me, hey, it was Joe's painting that did it, right? I'm going to call Joe. Hey, I saw the work you did at my neighbor Jack's house, and it looks fantastic. Can you do that? And why don't you come to my house and see if you can do it for that, you know, for that as well. Over the years, we have heard all kinds of wonderful stories about yard signs being very, very powerful still, because it's like you're putting your name and your stamp on the work that you've done. It's almost like signing your painting when you're, you know, if you're an artist, right? Let them know.
I agree with that. Well, it depends. It depends on your product too. Obviously, you can't use a yard sign for everything. But
right. No, I know.
For home improvements and home repairs, but then you get a lot of restrictions on them. More and more associations are prohibiting them.
Right.
Or put them in some obscure place where nobody can see them.
Right.
Put them in the window. That's how it is around our neighborhood. Put them in the window. Even though a house is for sale, or somebody painted the window sills, you know, the framework.
Right.
Always a counter, but Mitch, you're right. You're right. Yard signs are a good, cheap, effective way to spread the word a little bit.
Well, here's another one. I know that's one of your favorites. I know you brought up a number of times with people here, especially recently, which is church bulletins.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking about just, again, there are churches all over the place. They all have those kind of bulletins that they're sending out to their folks. Great place to put your business in, right? I mean, in terms of just be aware of that's what you're looking for. So there's a bunch there. Again, I just touched on several of those. And just, I want people to understand from an advertising standpoint, there's a lot of places you can kind of go from that standpoint, Jack. That's on the print. That's more on the print side. There are all the other ads you can do. I mean, you know, we used to be on the radio, right? You have radio advertising people can do, or you got television advertising. There's different online stuff like that you can do as well. So advertising is a big part of that. I think it's one of the areas, Jack, that people often think about when they think about marketing, is the advertising piece. And again, it's a relatively passive, because you'll spend some time usually up front, right, trying to figure out what should the ad say, all this kind of stuff, right? But once you let it go, it just kind of starts to go. So you just start to spend money and see, hey, is it starting to work or not? One of the ones you touched on before, I want to come back to, which is another passive, which is those promotional items, Jack. You know, things like you mentioned, pens and mugs, and it could be clothing with, you know, that's logoed, or, you know, different apparel, or magnets, right? You got to come back to the trades again. A lot of folks like the magnets, right? Here, put the magnet. I can't put the yard sign in a Jack anymore, right? So I got a bunch of magnets on the back of my truck. So you like what I'm doing, what's going on, you come by and just grab a magnet, right? Here it is. And we had one of our clients.
Unless it's a case of being an aluminum truck.
I was just going to say, our client recently. Tell them that story, Jack. It's a funny story, right?
Yeah, it's for helping along and acknowledging a good worker. He let him pick out a truck that the company was going to pay for, basically. And they wanted to put the logo on this truck. Just slap a little sign on the doors, you know, and so you're complying with the IRS and blah, 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 you know, a real truck and a little advertising. But they forgot about the fact that magnets only go on steel. Right. So they have aluminum trucks now, made of aluminum, obviously. And they couldn't stick the promotional stuff on there.
They're putting the magnets on the side to keep on falling on the ground. What's going on? What's wrong with this magnet? It's like, nothing. Magnet's just fine. You just bought the wrong kind of truck, right? But those are very popular. And for good reason, because people can take them, or people will send them out because, and some people's refrigerators at home, you know, won't work for those, right? But some people's will. I remember when we went shopping for our new refrigerator, that was one of the key things that my wife, my daughter wanted to make sure, Jack. And I remember going to
stick magnets on it.
Yeah. I remember going to the store and they had one of these ginormous magnets, right? It's about, you know, it's huge. And we walked by, okay, this one magnet, okay. And it was good for us. We were able to narrow down to like three or four, okay, versus 50. Okay, great. Only these three or four can do magnets. Awesome. Okay, let's make sure we can do that, because we didn't want to come home and go, oops, put them on, things started falling off. It's like, uh-oh. That was a very important part for us.
I believe it. I think most people, there aren't too many refrigerators in the world that don't have a bunch of stuff attached to it, right?
Right. So, and I think you'll be hard pressed to find, Jack. There aren't too many businesses that haven't done some sort of promotional items like that, right? You know, again, like I said, everything from what you're wearing to things you're handing out. So again, to be able to look at that as a way, it's passive, because again, you give them that magnet, Jack, and it's there on the refrigerator. It's there talking to them. So when they're ready, they're going to do it, right? Or, you know, again, you hand out that pen. That's one of your favorite things. You get some crappy pen that before you finish writing the first line, it runs out of ink, right? You're thinking, who's the jerk who gave me this pen? Okay, I'm never going to work with them again, right?
That's what happens. It works totally against you.
Right. So it could be passive aggressive, maybe.
The last thing you see is this. That's right. The last thing you see throwing it hard in the wastebasket is the company's name.
Right. Right. So those are, again, those are very popular. Again, more passive items, but again, they're very powerful items that people often might may forget about, Jack. Another one I think most people can relate to, and most people probably have, which is a website. Okay, and I think we all know it. And, you know, we're as guilty as the rest of the people on this, Jack. Right? You have this big push to get your website up and going, or you do a revamp of the website, and it takes months. Right? Rewrite content, do this, do that, everything else, and then you get it done, and then you go away. Right? You don't look at it for another 6 months.
Another 2 years when somebody says your website's looking kind of old and crusty, isn't it?
Right, right.
So then you scramble and get 10 grand to get a new one, right?
Right. So, you know, so fortunately, you know, there are different strategies that you can do as part of that, right? And so the two of the biggest ones are what's known as, you know, I'll use the acronyms here, Jack. SEO and SEO and PPC, right? The SEO being the search engine optimization stuff. And wow. The PPC is the pay-per-click stuff, right? So pay-per-click advertising. So those are a couple of ways that people will use to help get their websites found, right? So that becomes a little more active, right? Versus just putting it up there and letting it sit there and see who finds it. So there's ways to be a little more active to kind of to drive stuff to it. But again, the website in and of itself can often be a very passive thing, right? Where it's, you may forget about, hey, well, it's been 5 years. I guess it's time to update our site, Jack. And, you know, it was a big deal, you know, probably 5 years ago. Hey, you got to update your site to make sure it's mobile friendly, right? Whatever that might be. So, but even so, you're right. You look at people's sites these days and the ones you go like, when was this site created, right? Back in the 90s, right? And it's like, oh, okay. Well, that's what they had and they haven't changed it. It's very passive at that point, right? It's been 20 plus years.
Yeah, you know, personally, though, I don't think the refurbishing and changing of those really is a big deal. I mean, unless it is a 30-year-old website, I don't think websites were even that popular 30 years ago. So it depends on the industry, as usual. But for the most part, as long as it has a little color in it, has all the information you need, doesn't have to have a big sell. That's just a little sidebar comment, in my opinion. I don't know how to critique an excellent website versus, you know, one that's modestly good, one that's terrible.
No, we do. Jack. No, we absolutely do. Now we judge it. How many leads is it generating for you?
Yeah.
That's how we judge it, right?
That's how we judge it.
That's how we should judge.
Most people
judge it based on how it looks.
Leads.
No, I know. Yeah. Most people judge it based on how it looks, right? It's like what, and we've had enough experience with different clients, Jack, that have had all kinds of great luck with the websites that look like terrible, right? Or they have goofy pictures, but it works. And so you say, okay, well, so at your point, it's like, well, judge it based on the results of as far as what's kind of going on, not necessarily the look and feel of stuff per se, right?
No, hey, if your product doesn't get through when somebody's looking at it, then it's a bad site. You know, I mean, or you got a bad product. So that's probably more the case.
Okay.
It isn't so much the site that's selling it. Some industries, yeah, but I think far and above most small businesses. You know, if they're in the food business, that's different. They all look the same pretty much. Pictures of what they eat and, you know, the hours and the blah, blah, blah pictures of their restaurant.
Right.
But more sophisticated ones, that makes it more of a challenge for sure. And how sophisticated do you have to get? How much money do you want to spend? We have engineering clients who have to be very technical. And that's just the nature of the beast. The people who they're going to be selling to are looking for things like that. Artistic people, same way. But, you know, the websites themselves, I don't know, as long as I can reach it, it's like a business card. As long as I have your contact info and I need your services because I think they're pretty good, I'll buy from you. I don't care what your website looks like.
Well, no, that's a good point, Jack. I think that's where websites first started. Where websites first started was back when it was just an online brochure. Right, for lack of a better term, and so
that's what it was called.
Right, and now that's evolved. But again, the ones I said that were made in the 90s, Jack, those are the ones that haven't evolved in that mentality. They still have that mentality. So, again, so it can become more active, I guess, to my point. But it's one of those things that again tends to be more passive for people, and it's one thing I think most companies can relate to because they usually will have a version of a website in some form or fashion. Here's one that's probably a little more annoying, and I say it's annoying because I know as an owner, you get a lot of these phone calls, and that's people asking for sponsorships, Jack.
Sponsorships,
right? Yeah. Hey, we got the golf outing coming up here this month, Jack. Hey, we got the big event coming up here. We got this kind of going on here. We got the, you know, back to school this. We got, you know, whatever it's going to be, right? And as the owner, it almost seems like constantly people are tugging at your sleeve. Maybe not every day, but every week, every month, people call, hey, can you sponsor this? Can you sponsor, sponsor a hole over here? Or sponsor this event over here? Or sponsor Sally? Okay. So sponsorships, again, relatively passive, but depending what level we're talking about, could be some big bucks here in terms of sponsoring some stuff. So that's another passive strategy that people, I think, will often do. And unfortunately, many times they're doing it just to say, I'm just doing it because Sally asked me to do this, whatever it might be, Jack, versus saying, no, wait, let's make sure that we sponsor this. That's going to be come back to our targets again, a place where our targets are going to be. So it's a good place for us to have a sponsorship versus say, that's a sponsor because we're doing it, right?
So do you think much thought goes into developing a website?
You think you're back people to websites know how again. To, okay.
I know, yeah. Afterthoughts about websites.
Okay. I think they did. They come down with the idea of, hey, what do we need to have up there? And, you know, I think people will be more budget conscious these days. You know, people can get a site, a version of a site up for probably, you know, a grand, give or take, right? Maybe, you know, a couple grand at most. Now, you can go from that to 100 times that, depending what you want to do with the site. And so the part of it is finding good people that you can have to talk to about it, Jack, because most of us are not experts in how this stuff all works. And you know, we can go up on a whiteboard and draw stuff or lay stuff out, but to go in and actually program the stuff to make it happen, you know, there's some good tools that are there that make it somewhat user-friendly. But, you know, again, if you're spending your time building your own website, unless you're in the website business, Jack,
that's right.
Probably isn't
that's
a good, right. a good use of your time. It's probably a good investment to make sure you've got somebody at least has, I'll use the term professional, Jack, that's done these a little bit before to kind of get things happening, but to have a strategy in terms of what you're trying to do it for. What are you looking to do with the website? Again, should it be generating leads for you? How do you track those kind of things?
Yeah, it's a very cerebral process to design those and pull those conversations together and then equate it into, okay, your site should look like this. Most people, most small business owners aren't equipped to do that, to think like that. So they get sold a bill of goods, whatever. You know, what is a bill of goods, by the way? That's an old term.
That is a bill. It's a bill of goods. That's like the bill when they deliver all your stuff, right? Here's the bill for all the goods, but where's the
so the they get sold a bill of goods.
What's the bill of lading? There's a different.
That's I think what is on your vehicle that's delivering or picking up that stuff.
All right.
Whatever.
One's good, one's bad, right? If he gets sold a bill of goods versus a bill of lading, right? That's okay. Yes, but I know what you mean by being sold a bill of goods, which means it's not a good thing, Jack. You're being sold a bunch of stuff that, you know, you can't really.
So I finally just have to agree to the person selling it, because what do I know, right? Yeah. Am I going to take on an artist? Am I going to take on somebody who's been designing websites and has a background and being able to see that artistic work that comes through? But then again, I'm seeing it in a certain way, but I don't know how to express it. They're seeing it in a way they know how to use the terms, like any specialized industry.
Well, I think some people, Jack, though, are maybe even avoiding the websites where they're using social media instead. They just have I'm gonna have a Facebook page, or I might have a YouTube page, or my Instagram page. They're using those things instead because they've identified that their markets are there, their target markets are there, so they want to be there, or they make it easy enough to make those things kind of happen. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but again it's one of many passive. Let me bring up another one.
Go through a few of them.
Well, people may not think of, you know, I was mentioning sponsorships before, which I didn't seem to get you too excited. How about something that I think people see every day and they forget about it, Jack, which is signage. Signage, right?
Big sign, little signs, all kinds of signs.
Yeah, it could be on the building, could be the vehicle, as you mentioned. It could be in the windows, right? If you have a store, it's, you know, the point of sale stuff. But there's a lot of signage around typically, and again, we're all bombarded with thousands of, you know, impressions a day, Jack, from stuff that we see, whether it be online, out in the world, of just ads being thrown at us. And so, especially when it comes to our business, as we walk into our business every day, we stop seeing stuff, right? We stop noticing this, or we stop noticing that. And there's a great story that we heard from Dan Gilbert, who's the owner of Rocket Mortgage. He also owned the Cleveland Cavs and the Q here in Cleveland. That he told a great story about signage, and this is going back to an All-Star game in Houston, probably, you know, 10, 15 years ago, and it was the Toyota Center, right? And here's a big event. The NBA All-Star game is there, so they've known about it for a couple of years. And he said they're walking into the Toyota Center, and he looks up and he sees that TOYO in Toyota is burnt out. And it says the TA Center as he's walking in, right? Wait a minute. What happened, right?
Story.
Right. So here you have a huge building, right? I mean, nobody noticed the signage wasn't working. But, Jack, how many signs do you walk by that you see like that, right? I mean, you know, I was showing you one, or showing Mary Jo one earlier or last week with the beef people that showed the beef pole because the E and the P had burnt out, right? So also the signs are showing different stuff. There are signs everywhere, Jack. Like if you, I guarantee you, I would challenge our audience, Jack, drive around your local neighborhood for 20 minutes tonight. I guarantee you'll see signs that are burnt out somewhere. Right?
Oh, you're right. Yeah, right?
The people don't notice it. Well, who doesn't notice it is the people who are often there every day, Jack. Right? Because they walk by it, or maybe they aren't there at night. So also when that light comes on, they're nowhere to be found. So they don't know what's going on. So something simple as your signage throughout. You know, have somebody come in who hasn't been there before. Just give a fresh look, and they may notice a lot of things. Hey, maybe you should do that or tweak that or. What's that thing over there mean? Or, hey, did you notice that this thing's been falling over for, oh yeah, I didn't notice that. But the signage can be a very, very big deal. And that passive marketing channel, Jack, can deliver a pretty strong message, right? What do you think?
Sure. Well, more negative possibility than positive. Yeah. I mean, if there's misspellings and big things that, you know, people coming into your organization see and don't say anything about it, it sabotages potential success. Just can't be done, or shouldn't be done.
That's right.
But I've been reading a lot of articles lately about, and this goes back a little bit too, how people are just totally inundated and not disgusted, but turned off a lot by signage. But you know, it's a good effective way.
What do you mean? Like where? When you say they're getting turned off by signage, where?
Wherever they take the walk, wherever they walk to, wherever they walk into. They see all this constant advertising, not just something to help you sell your product, but it's little jingles, little attempts to be entertaining, and it's gone a bit too far. That's the, you know, people ignore it, much like you're saying. It goes right by them, goes right over their head. They don't want to read this stuff. They want to get their hamburger and go.
You're giving me heart palpitations here because when you talk about that, there's a store that I used to have to go to with my daughter. It was probably before she was 10. And for those of you who are listening who have young girls, you can probably appreciate this. The store is called Justice, Jack. Justice. And I swear, every time I walked in that store, I got a headache. I couldn't be in there because it was neon. There was bright. So there was all kinds of signs. Just, literally just walking in there was just overstimulation. I was like, you know what? I need to walk out. You stay here, what do you got to do? But I literally couldn't be in there for more than a couple minutes. It was driving me crazy, Jack.
Just overstimulation.
Yes.
That's a good word. Very good. Two words.
That's okay. We can make it one word. Hyphenate it. How about that? One that
that's good.
Right? So signage is a big deal. Let me throw one at you that I think people may not think about at all, Jack. How about some surveys? Surveys.
Oh, right? Boy, you know how I feel about those too.
And there are lots of ways to do surveys, right? And with our technology age, you can do survey monkeys and things like that that are very easy to do. Or you can send out surveys, written surveys. You can do things, but by phone calls. But my point is, again, this is a marketing channel, right? It's a way to start to get information from your customers, do some survey from them. It's another way to reach out and touch them. All right, so you got to think every time you're coming into contact with your customer or potential customers, Jack, you got to be thinking about marketing. You have to have your marketing hat on, and I think many people don't think that way. That every time you're doing those kind of things, you got to think about how is this going to be received and perceived by the people who are my target here. And so a survey could be a passive marketing tactic for you, Jack.
Well, that's true. That's true. But surveys, I find, you know, I'm negative tonight. I'm putting everything down that you're bringing up.
It's okay. We have to balance that.
That's good. Advertising does, or marketing does that to me sometimes.
I'm not going to bring up some of your other favorite topics to put you in even a worse mood, Jack, besides marketing. Marketing usually is a positive energizer for you, but there's certain parts of it that I fully understand. I know which buttons to push, right? So how about infomercials, Jack?
I like the idea of infomercials. I think they're effective if they're done well. I don't know what well means, though.
Right, but it's one of those things, again, it's, you know, you record it, and all of a sudden you put it out there, right? You put it out there where it starts to kind of do stuff. And so those are just some of the passive strategies, Jack, that I think we wanted to just kind of talk about.
Just wanted to touch them a little bit.
Right. Yeah, and discuss in terms of how it is, in terms of, okay, and why it's important. But and the reason why we put them this way in terms of, hey, we gotta get people thinking about the marketing, Jack, from a different perspective, but also help them, you know, make sense of what they're doing. And maybe they start to realize that, hey, you know what? Maybe I have too many things in the passive bucket. I need more things that are short term, or more things in the long term, or vice versa, right? And so again, trying to find that balance of what's kind of going on. But again, I'll challenge all of our listeners here. Again, we'll include a link that we'll be able to download this document. Print it off, or just, you know, download and have it on your screen. Start checking off. You'll be I can almost guarantee you, Jack, if you've been in business for a couple of years, you'll check off at least 10 of these things that you've either have already tried or you're currently trying. Right.
You're right. Yeah, we've done that many times, and you're proven right. Absolutely.
Well, people are amazed. Again, coming back to the idea of the idea of marketing in terms of how you're marketing, a lot of times maybe you're not even thinking about the fact that you're marketing, right? This will help to reinforce that for you. But again, the idea is to make sure you're doing some of these things, but to make sure to focus. And part might be, hey, you know what? We're done doing this, and you cross it off. Let's stop doing that. Okay, that's an important thing too, because also now you're taking that, again, the time and money we were talking about before, Jack. Well, you're taking some more time or money than putting it towards something that's going to work better for you, probably, right? And it's just like investing. You know, people talk about your portfolio with investing, Jack. You can talk about portfolios for your marketing too. You know, the people the advice you often get from financial planners is to make sure you spread out your portfolio, right? You know, you kind of put a little bit here, a little bit there. But if you know who the winners are going to be, Jack, and you can put your money on those winners, isn't that a better strategy? Then
I would agree totally.
Right,
I would
well, that's true for marketing too. So the part of the beauty of what this page does for us, Jack, and it does for so many of our clients, is it gives them that aha moment and say, okay, holy cow, I'm doing a lot of stuff. Okay, well, I've learned a lot, and I've learned a lot of what doesn't work. And let me take that, you know, dollars and time and put it towards things that start to work. And that's really hone in on those to where you're going to pick, again, a handful of strategies at most that you're going to be focusing on.
How can I get this one pager, Adam?
Yeah, it's going to be part of our notes. It'll be a place there. It says click here to download it. It'll be right there for you to be able to do. It'll be part of our show notes, Jack.
This is one of the best one sheets of paper that you're ever going to use in your business. It shows everything that can be done in any concept of marketing. It's up to you to research them, but you can basically find from this sheet many ways to move your products or services forward.
It should also add tremendous clarity, Jack. You know, a big part of what we talk about with our clients is helping understand the marketing piece. Again, you and I are not marketers, right? But we understand marketing enough to be able to help our clients understand it and teach it. But also a big part we talk about with the small business folks, Jack, is with the marketing piece, you want to get as many people involved as possible. Again, coming back to the whole time and money thing, if we're spending time. So how do you explain marketing to your team? Well, this is a great way to start to have that conversation and sort of show them, hey, look at all the stuff we're doing, folks, right? That's a great way to start to engage with that kind of a conversation with your team about the marketing stuff as far as what's kind of going on. Because often when you mention marketing, Jack, people will duck in corners, right? Because they will, as we discussed before, you'll confuse marketing and sales as being the same thing. Like, hey, I don't want to do sales. No, I'm talking about sales. I'm talking about, let's give you some marketing stuff in terms of what you can be good at. And I would challenge our listeners, Jack, for each of people that you've got in your company, they could all be doing at least one of these things.
Absolutely. Get them all
involved. Natural skills. Yeah.
That's right.
So it's a fantastic page. I agree, Jack. It's a fantastic page if it's used right. You can do many, many wonders as part of your business, and that's why we wanted to be able to share it with you. And that's why we've been able to make three shows out of it. And again, three shows of just touching the surface, Jack, about what's kind of going on. But it's a great way to assess what's kind of going on and to get your marketing plan kind of going. And heck, what better time now than now, Jack? We've had a very strange 2020, and let's get that marketing plan kind of going for what's happening for the rest of this year, folks. So
I agree. Very well put, Adam. Very well put.
All right. Well, that's our show for today. Thank you for listening for Dirty Secrets of Small Business. If you missed any of our prior shows, you can get them all at our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com, or you can get our Facebook page by the same name, you know, get them there. Better yet, why don't you use your smart device and go wherever you get your podcasts, whether it be Spotify or iHeart or Apple, whatever it might be. You can subscribe to it and it comes right to your device every week. So we do the show every week. And if you want to leave a review, that'd be fantastic. If you haven't talked to us before, you can email us at radio@maximumvp.com or, hey, give us a call, 877-849-0670. All right, another great show in the books, Jack, or in the can, or however you want to call it, but it's fun.
It is. Let's keep it up.
Yes, we will. All right, everybody, have a great week, everybody. We'll see you guys all next week.
You betcha. Bye-bye.